Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. We give everyone a very warm welcome into service. So good to hear Brother John's getting home this evening. And the Lord's really touched him, and we're thankful to the Lord. And John sends us thanks as well. And so many people praying for him all over the world. And he's been getting messages from so many different places. Billy Patterson rang the other night to ask for him as well, and asked Billy how he was doing, and he said he hadn't been doing too well. Billy broke his leg before my dad's funeral, and then after that, after a short time, he broke the other leg. So he went through a hard time of it, Brother Billy Patterson had. So he was asking for John, and all the folks were praying, and the folks were praying in England, different places. So we just thank the Lord that prayer works, doesn't it? Praise God. So the Lord bless each one. You know, I was saying last week, I wanted to share from the book of Samuel, and I was thinking about chapter 17 and 18, but then I thought to myself, start at the start of the book, and I'll go through it. So we're in chapter 1 tonight, and there's a lot of studying in it, and I maybe haven't given enough justice, and there's some names in here I might not be able to pronounce them all right, but I'll have a go at it. But we want to read from chapter 1, the first 18 verses, and tonight I want to talk about Hannah and the triumph she had, even though she had a sorrowful spirit. She had triumph. And I want to bring it out, and there's some challenging things in this for all of us, and I want to challenge myself and everyone. And maybe people listening in as well. So there's some challenging thoughts in it. What I want to bring out of it. And I want to try and go through it each week. Verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim, Shaphim of the Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tuhu, the son of Zuav, an Ephraimite, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Peninnahs, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time of Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her, this was the other wife, sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so he provoked her. She provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy portion that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Let's bow our heads tonight. And I want to remember Brother Mark as well, and Prairie Husband too well, and any others tonight, praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the name that you have set far above every name. Lord, we reverence your name tonight, the name of Jesus Christ. And we plead your precious blood over this house, all that's in it, and all that's mentioned in prayer, and all that's near and dear to us tonight, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We come against the spirit of infirmity and fear, and we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for how you have touched the brother John. We pray you continue to minister unto him, to bring him full recovery and health and strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Move in his whole household and save every one of them in Jesus' precious name. We pray for Brother Mark tonight, that from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that you'll touch him and make him well, make him whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Any others tonight that's sick or afflicted, we pray you'll touch them and minister unto them, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you for your abundant grace, for your mercy, and we acknowledge you in all our ways this evening. Father, we pray you'll anoint your word to our hearts tonight and speak to us from these pages, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me, and I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it a refreshing here when you look at Hannah here in this portion of bread tonight, to see such a spirit as Hannah had in the midst of a moral ruin that followed the priestly rule of the land? And you need to read through it, all these things. And even though this priest is the priest of the Lord, he was weak-willed. That's what I'll tell you, he was weak-willed. And the man, you know, he honored his sons more than he wanted to honor the Lord. This priest did. And I'll tell you, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to put nothing before the Lord. We're not even to love our own children or our nobody more than the Lord Jesus. We must give our full love to Jesus Christ, and everything else comes secondary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man loved the sons more than he did the sacrifice of the Lord. And, you know, in 1 Samuel in chapter 2, verse 29, but I'll be coming back to chapter 1. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. So the Lord wasn't fully pleased when Lo, he was a priest of the Lord. And even when Hannah came in here to pray, Hannah came in to pray and he thought she was drunk. And Hannah means grace. And she is true to her name. So the grace of God is made sufficient to her. She's true to her name. Hannah means grace. Now, you know, there's so much here in this portion we can learn. She was a sorrowful woman, a woman of sorrow and spirit. Verse 15 tells us that. And because she was childless, verse 5, she was childless, but she was believing and praying to the Lord. Now, remember what the Bible tells us about children in Psalms 127, verse 3. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. So the children is a blessing. And I'll tell you, when anyone receives children, it's a blessing from the Lord. That's what the Lord's word says. And Hannah wanted not only children, she asked specifically for a man child. I used to love that. You know, there's a wee man in Tremore years ago, and they said to him, well, did your wife have the baby? And he told them the time and the weight, and he said she had a wee man child. That's the way he told of it. Didn't know who I'm talking about. He lived up, sold a few cars, but he was a character of a wee man. He said she had a wee man child. Praise God. He was a real character. But I'll tell you, Hannah asked for a man child. Now you could take a type out of this. What the Lord came. The Lord Jesus came. God gave us only begotten son. But we want to go on tonight. You see, her soul here was vexed. This heritage, what she was looking at, wasn't hers. But she wanted a heritage that was hers. And she counted it a shame to be fruitless. It was a shame for her to be fruitless. And you know, many of God's people are fruitless. And we want to be bearing fruit for the Lord, and it should vex every one of our souls if we're fruitless. And I know as a preacher and everything, we want a fruit for our labor, don't we? We want to see souls saved. We want to see things done for the Lord. And we should be vexed if we don't see it. Hannah here, in the natural, and the natural types of spiritual, she was vexed, she was fruitless. And because she was fruitless, it drove her to praying. Isn't that some lesson for all of us tonight? They say the great D.L. Moody, when he stopped seeing people getting saved, he would go on a fast and he'd go out into the woods and he'd stand at the trees and he'd cry to God and he'd cry to God and he'd say, Lord, I need to see souls saved. And he would keep praying and fasting for days, and then the Spirit of God would move him again and he'd see people saved. I know we're in different dispensations. I know that. And I believe we're at the end time. But we should still have a desire to see fruit for our labor. 2 Peter 1 verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we want to have fruit for our labor. You see, here's another thing about Hannah. She was mocked. Peninnah mocked her. That's the other wife. She mocked her. She mocked Hannah. Her adversary provoked her sore to make her fret. Verse 6 of Samuel 1 tells us that. That she was provoked to make her fret. Her childless condition brought upon her, you know, an ungodly sneer, if you like. And how many times does the ungodly look at us and the laugh? That's the truth. He's a big Christian or she's a Christian. And they laugh at you. You know, it searches our heart and sometimes it's humbling and for each one of us because we go through trials and tribulations and maybe things don't go the way we plan them to go. And maybe we have trials come along and maybe things happen. And God permits things. He has to. We know that. And we can't see the bigger picture that God has. And sometimes God permits things and it maybe could get people together that mightn't come together otherwise. Do you ever think of that? And God works like that. But you know, every experience for a child of God, God grants grace. And God granted grace for Hannah. And you know, even Paul the great apostle, when he had through his trials and had a thorn in the flesh, the Lord said, and my grace is sufficient for you. And I tell you, it's the grace of God we need when we're going through the trials, isn't it? It's God's grace. And you know, many times as the finger was pointed at Hannah and ridicule pointed maybe at some of us and one who loves the Lord and yet seems to enjoy, you know, maybe the unsaved, they don't love the Lord and they seem to enjoy more blessing than the saved. And you look at them and you wonder, look at their doing or look at the have. And maybe you don't have it and you're wondering, well, I'm serving the Lord. But you see, this is not our kingdom down here. We have another kingdom. And the Bible says, lay not up where moth and rust gets at it, you know, so to speak, but lay up treasure in heaven. And you see, all that we can have here, houses and cars and everything, and we need them, but we're going to leave them. If the rapture takes place, we're going. And we'll not be worrying about the mortgage or anything. We'll be like the children of Israel. Get as much gold off the neighbors as you can and get out. That's what they did. They borrowed off them, and then they fled. Now, they never got it back. So they say they borrowed it, but sure, they never got it back, did they? They went with it. And that's the thing. You see the banks crying about their money, but one day, people's going to leave. And they'll not be paying no more, whatever it is they're doing. They'll be going to be with the Lord, for we have an earth kingdom. You know, but there's many attacks of the enemy, and God seems to permit it, but yet there's a deep conviction comes in the believer that there's barrenness. Do you believe that tonight? I tell you, I know about it. I feel it as a preacher. I want to see people saved. And you can preach so many sermons and you don't see maybe the movement you want to see. And you go and pray to the Lord about it. And many's the time I say to myself, I'm wasting my time. Or, Lord, have you really called me at all? And then you could go somewhere else. Nobody knows you. And the next thing, people start getting saved. And that's how the Lord works. But you see, we need to cast ourselves unreservedly upon the divine nature and the divine sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. And when we go through those times where we feel we're barren and we're not fruitful, we need to cast ourselves fully on the Lord. That's what Hannah done. She casted herself fully on the Lord. She didn't get up before the crowd and pray a loud prayer because the priest couldn't hear. All he seen, her lips was moving. She wasn't praying it for him to hear. She wasn't praying it for the person beside her to hear it. See how well I can shout or pray. She was praying a silent prayer, but God heard it. Because the Bible says, my arm's not shortened and my ear's not heavy. God can hear the silent prayer that you pray in your heart. God can hear it. And it's as loud as the loud vocal prayer. Because God's not deaf, you see. God hears the whisper. God sees the heart. God knows the heart. God knows the desire of the heart. And God saw Hannah's desire. And God knew Hannah's heart. You see, she was very sensitive, Hannah, wasn't she? And that's nature for you. Sometimes we're sensitive to things. And you know that some people's more sensitive to things than other things. In verse 7, you see, if we had more brass, you see, in her heart, she would have had fewer tears in her eyes. And you ever hear the saying about the brass, the heavens are as brass. And sometimes people's hearts brass. They don't pray through. They've no tears. There's no emotion. There's no sincerity. It's not the age we're in. That where Revelation says rich and increase, we've needed nothing. But God wants to see sincerity and maybe tears sometimes. And you can't make them up, but there's real tears at times, isn't there? And even when nobody sees them. And Hannah had real tears. Hannah had real tears. She wasn't crying for the priest to see her because she wasn't praying out loud. She's doing it to the Lord. And the Lord saw it. And the Lord saw Hannah's tears. And you know, there's a great hope for any Christian worker who can weep over the fruitfulness of their lives. It's good that we should feel. Sometimes in verse 10 it says, the bitterness of soul before the Lord. Hannah felt the bitterness of soul in verse 10 here before the Lord. She felt the bitterness of soul. And sometimes we could, everywhere. I used to think years ago it's all on the mountain. But I'll tell you what I've learned. It's not all on the mountain. There's a lot of valleys. There's an awful lot of valleys. But he's still the God in the valleys. And the God that's a God on the mountain is still the God in the valleys. And God molds us in his own way. And he has to take us down into the valleys. And then we get on the mountain maybe for a while again. Name of another valley. And then we might think, have you ever experienced, but it was great to get through that trial. And then everything's going great. And then a few months down the road, you're in another one. You see, we're in a warfare. And that's why we need the full armor of God on. And Hannah here was in a warfare. She's been mocked. And this other woman that was married to the same man as she was had all these children. The blessing of the Lord was on her. And Hannah thought she didn't have the blessing. And yet with all, her husband probably loved her more than the other one. If you read in here. Because he says, I love you more than 10 sons. And he was good to her. Really good to her. But she had no children. And she wanted the blessing because we read children are a blessing. And you know there's a saying as well, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And sometimes we can become at ease and God stirs us. When David became at ease and he was laying on his rooftop and all the men of war went to war and David stayed at home, that's when his trouble started. Is that right? That's when the trouble started for him, when he took it at ease. But it's good to be on the battlefront. You see, she prayed. She was a prayerful woman. She prayed. And God wants a people that's a prayerful people that'll pray. She prayed, verse 10. She prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She didn't stop. She was persistent. She's been reviled from every side, but it never threatened her to stop. Even though she was under pressure, even though she's been mocked. Now, she had to fast as well. She was fasting and praying. And the Bible says, fasting and praying's good. And sometimes we maybe need to fast and pray. And when you fast and pray, you're not doing it to say to your fellow Christians, here, look, I've been fasting and praying, and now a great fella. You're doing it in secret. You don't tell nobody about it. Now, you could call a fast for everybody, but I'm talking about your own self to the Lord. You secretly do it. Just like the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right's doing. If you want to bless somebody, you don't have to tell nobody about it. You go ahead and do it. You don't tell nobody. You're not doing it to be seen. You're doing it unto the Lord. And fasting and praying is the same. You're doing it unto the Lord. And the Lord says, He'll reward you openly. No, you've done it in secret. He'll reward you openly. You know, and we may thank God for the trials that He sends, you know, upon us sometimes, and causes us to plead for, you know, with all of our hearts, full purpose to God. Causes us to do it, doesn't it? The scourges of the enemy only serve to drive us closer to the blessings of God. Didn't William Branham say that Satan's only a tool in the hand of God? Here also, there's another thing she did in verse 11 here. She vowed. She made a vow. You know, she made a vow unto the Lord in verse 11. O Lord, if thou wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord. She had made a vow unto the Lord. And I tell you, she was serious about the vow. She wasn't joking about this vow. Now you think of this. She had no children, but she promised God that she'd give him back to the Lord. Amen. Now you could go on, and I won't have time tonight, but you could go on and you could see first, you give him back to the Lord. And then you could see, for God audibly spoke to Samuel. She was blessed. And when God already spoke with Samuel, Samuel said to the priest, Eli, did he call me? And he said, no. And several times it happened. And that old priest, even though he was what he was, and he was a lot of things, he says, if you hear it again, say, here I am, Lord. And he realized that the Spirit of God was talking to Samuel. Maybe God hadn't talked to him for a long time. But God was talking to Samuel. Samuel was chosen of the Lord from a young man. And God audibly spoke to Samuel and called Samuel. And Samuel answered to the Lord. And I tell you, she promised to give him unto the Lord. She purposes in her heart that if the Lord will have mercy on her and take away her reproach, she will consecrate his gift entirely to his service. And when God gives us a gift, we have to consecrate it entirely to the service of the Lord. Now I'll tell you, I remember getting a prophecy. And part of that prophecy said, abandon yourself. Now you're going to wonder, strange, when you get a prophecy that says, abandon yourself, time's short, I'm going to send you. Never mind how, and you haven't been out of hardly the town you lived in. And you've no money in your pocket. And God's a prophecy comes and said you'll go around different parts of the world. The darkest continents of Africa and Asia. The furthest ends of the earth, as far as you can go, is New Zealand. You can't go no further. Mileage. That's as far as you can go. And God tells you that through a prophecy. And I'm sitting there thinking, but you're right. How would I ever go? And then the prophecy comes back again and says, I'll send you to you, never mind how. And the preacher will be plain and powerful, and signs and wonders will follow it. That was the prophecy. And that prophecy was given over 30 years ago. Five times I've been as far as New Zealand. Five times in Australia. An awful lot of times to Africa and Norway and different places. And you say, well, what about it? But God's done what he said. And maybe it's not all done yet. But there you're sitting and wondering how God's going to do it. And I can, you know, feel, if it were Hannah, what she was feeling in a sense. Because Hannah, it's impossible. But yet with all, she's praying to the Almighty God. What you remember, he's not just God, he's Almighty God. Almighty God. And he can do far above abundantly what we can ask or think. And he can bless us, press down and running right over the top. More than you can use, that's what it means. And here the Lord does it for Hannah. But here's the thing about her, she believed. She believed in verse 18. So the woman went her way and her countenance was no more sad. God changed Hannah's countenance because of what he done for her. Her countenance was no more sad. And I tell you, the people used to sing it and talk about it. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know, there's a great sermon And I'll tell you the truth, it's one of the best sermons ever preached, in my opinion. And Oral Roberts preached it. And he preached about the fourth man in the fiery furnace, but you need to hear the whole sermon, not just a wee bit of it. And the man stood and he preached it, he did no notes, nothing. And I don't know how he done it, God had to help him to do it. But he starts out and he talks about the mountain climber. And he says, when the mountain climber is going up the mountain and the day goes quicker than he expects and the darkness starts to come, he says that mountain climber has to find a safe place for he could spend the night. And remember, he's on the mountain, so maybe he finds a ledge or a tree and he gets up on the tree and he takes his belt and he ties himself to the tree. Now, he's not comfortable tying himself to a tree, and all night he's not comfortable. But the important thing what Oral Roberts said is he's there in the morning. He's there in the morning. Because if he doesn't do that, he could fall down the mountain. Anything could happen. But he ties himself to the tree because the important thing is not that he's comfortable, but he's there in the morning. And I'll tell you, many times we go through things that's not comfortable, but the important thing is we're there in the morning, as it were. Sorrow may endure for a season, but joy cometh in the morning, praise God. And maybe somebody even in this service, and I believe God led me to go to this chapter 1. I wanted to go to chapter 18. I was prepared to go to chapter 18, but then it fell short of chapter 1. Maybe you've been through a time, but joy can cometh in the morning. Take an example, all of us tonight, from Hannah. What she done? And Hannah believed the Lord. The Lord had spoken to her heart. And also, as he did to Boaz, you know, did to Ruth here in Ruth 2. And I'm going to stop in a moment. Ruth 2, verse 13. Let me read you this. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me. And for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. And Hannah wasn't like the rest of them. She was barren. But the Lord comforted her, and the Lord changed her sad countenance into a countenance of joy. And Samuel was born. And not only was Samuel born, Samuel was a mighty man of God. And we're in the book of Samuel tonight. Praise God. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Just one more scripture, and we're going to close. She brought her burden to the Lord, and she went away without it. You know, if you've been carrying a burden for a long time, you don't need to keep carrying it. You know, there's different types of prayer. Let me explain this tonight. Sometimes there's a prayer that you pray about something and you don't pray about it again. You understand it tonight? When my father went out to Gilhall and he was praying about me, after the Lord gave him that scripture, he didn't pray about it again. It was done. You don't need to mention it again. God visited Jacko, his sister was dying, and she was in a tent. He saw the vision in the orange tent, everything. And he prayed through several times, and God answered him, and God spoke to him. And yet with all, he kept on, and God told him, I've done it. And when he got to the place, and I'm closing this, when he got to the place where his sister was, and his mom was there, and her sister's in the tent and all the stuff on her and everything. She was dying as far as they're concerned. But God had already told Jack Cole, I've heard your prayer. Now when God says I've heard your prayer, you don't need to pray again. You can pray about other things, but that thing, you don't need to pray about it again. God's not there. If God's answered you, that's the end of it. God will do it. And God answered Hannah here, and that was it. She didn't go in again. She didn't have to. That was it. And Jack Cole's mom says, Jack, go and ring your dad, because the dad was broke up with the mother. Go and ring your dad on one of them phones in the box or wherever way it was then, that no mobiles. Go and ring your dad and tell your dad that your sister's dead. And Jack Cole went, headed to the phone box, and God spoke to him. Yes. And God said to him, where are you going, Jack? And he said, I'm going to the phone. And he said, didn't I tell you I'd heal her? And he says, Lord, I plumb forgot, forgive me. And Jack Cole come back, and his mom said, "Jack, did you ring your dad?" He said, "No, the Lord's healed her." And his mom fell down on the steps, and she says, "Lord, you're going to have to help me. My daughter's dying, and my son's lost his mind." And just as that, the doctor said, "You should come in." She's wakened. And his sister wakened, and she says, "I'm starving. Make me a fry." Isn't it great to get a fry? I'm sure everybody loves here. How many sins would have been in the fry car? There's potato bread, soda bread, you know, pancakes, a couple of big eggs, no, bacon, beef sausages, or pork. You could fall out over the pork ones, but anyway. But she wanted the fry. And the doctor says, "Let her have it as a dying request." And she ate the fry and fell asleep. Several hours later, she woke up again. She says, "I'm starving again. It's as if I got nothing." And they said, "We're going to have to check her. Something's wrong here." God and healer. Now I'm going to tell you, closer to home than that. Now my grandmother, I believe she's in heaven tonight, my grandmother McKinstry. When I was a wee lad, and my mum sitting there knows this is the truth, I was bad. Really bad. And my grandmother said, "Billy, you must go and get the doctor." Now that's when my dad was still evangelistic work and been down the south and all, preaching. She says, "You will go and get the doctor. Tommy's going to die. He's bad." And my dad was going up the road. God said to him, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" "Going to get the doctor." He says, "No. You're preaching healing, I've healed him." And I come, my dad turned the car and come home. And he said to his mom, "The Lord's going to heal him." And I get better from every day after that. I tell you, God's good. God is good. I want to encourage you to pray the night. Whatever it is, maybe your children, anything, you don't even have to pray it out loud. You can pray. The Lord can hear you in secret. And if you want to pray out loud, that's good. Then we'll agree with you and pray with you. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. And I hope you've enjoyed the word of the Lord tonight. Maybe somebody listening in this, and may the Lord answer for you as well. Heavenly Father, we're so glad when the enemy would have snuffed our lights out, you kept it lit and burning. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for the new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Oh, how I love you, Lord Jesus, tonight with all of our hearts. Lord, when we're away wild and bare, many think maybe their children's too far gone. But Lord, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Lord, that woman at the well, nobody would have went that way. But you said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Lord, you didn't cast her away, but you brought her in. And she drank of the living water, and she never thirsted again. Father, your blessings is far beyond what we can recall tonight. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord's done. Bless your people tonight in this room. Bless those listening in. I pray a special blessing on each one tonight, and we bless the children of Israel. Your people Israel tonight, we bless them. And Lord, you said, "Lord, when the fig tree puts forth its leaf, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. And this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled." Lord, we're in the time, in the season of the coming of the Lord. We know that the coming of the Lord is near, and you will come as a thief in the night. Help us to trim our lamps and be burning for you. Help us to be daily witnesses. Oh God, don't let us be barren as individuals or as a fellowship. But we pray that you'll help us as individuals and as a fellowship to be fruitful and to bear fruit. Lord, we would pray like Hannah tonight that you would grant our request. Save our children. Save our loved ones. Sons and daughters tonight we claim. Aunts and uncles. Nieces and nephews. We claim them, Lord. We plead the precious blood of Jesus upon them. We ask that the Holy Ghost go upon them and move upon them. and speak a word into their innermost being in Jesus' precious name. Father, would you pray for the backslidden tonight? For those, Lord, that's got out of fellowship and don't come no more. Lord, you know their names, but don't need even mention them, for you know them. But we pray you'll speak to them. We pray you'll have mercy on them. You promised you're forever married to the backslider. We ask you for them tonight. We ask for grace. We ask for mercy. That the strong man be bound and his good spoiled. In Jesus' precious name. We ask for your own people that's gotten cold. Lord, for every one of us, you'll stir us. That you're in your right spirit within us. That you'll fill us every bit afresh with the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God. In Jesus' precious name. Father, if thou wast tarry for this Sunday, Lord, is the dedication for Colin and Lydia's wee one and maybe some visitors coming, to pray that there'll be a great spirit of conviction in this room. Lord, that every devil will be subject to the Holy Spirit and that your name will be lifted and glorified and that souls will be won to Christ. And Lord, that there'll be great joy in this house, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Father, strengthen your people tonight. Bless the mothers, the fathers, the children, each and every one. Bless Brother John and his whole house. Mark, bless him, strengthen him, and all his family and his whole house. All that comes to this fellowship, bless them and strengthen them. Think again of Sister Lynn again this evening, Lord. We pray you'll touch her. We pray you'll minister unto her. In the name of Jesus Christ. We know you're the great physician. We just ask you to do it, Lord. Bless wee Laurie as well. Give him your strength and grace in his old age. Strengthen him. Bless him. Meet his every need. And save his children. In Jesus' precious name. Father, for all the widows in this fellowship, give them your strength and your grace. Just be with them in a special way. In Jesus' precious name. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord this evening.